There was a time when almost every theater in the U.S. looked the same, a framed stage tucked behind curtains. Then, in 1947, in Dallas, Texas, a revolution took place. A woman named Margot Jones got rid of the frame, and the curtain, and the sets, and introduced audiences to a very different theatrical experience. For part five of our series about the regional theater movement, NPR's Bob Mondello paid a visit to Dallas, the city where everything changed.
Water Tower Theater sits right beneath the water tower that gives it its name, looking pretty conventional from the outside. Three Sundays ago, it was teeming with people. They'd come for the music, tap dancing, and plays in Water Tower's annual Out of the Loop Festival, including a silly sex comedy by the guy who wrote the animated movie, Ice Age.
Is that why you're with me? Because I'm a hitman?
Oh, no, baby, I'm with you because... Well, yeah.
That's sick.
That was Sunday at Water Tower Theater. Here's Monday. Except for the walls, the theater is being essentially dismantled, something that happens three times a year, to shake the audience up a little and keep them involved, says the troupe's communications coordinator, James Lemons.
If you think of it like an eggshell, we completely remove all the egg whites and yolk and replace it with something different. So we keep the shell intact, but anything inside that shell gets rearranged, re-outfitted, rebuilt, torn down to make something completely and totally new on the inside.
In this case, they're removing a 20-foot-high ceiling to reveal the 30-foot-high roof.
All right, folks, going up.
Also tearing down a lighting booth, reconfiguring all the seating, then walling the new alignment into place. It'll take 4 days, during which time it becomes easier to see the complex bones of this unusual building.
It's not sheetrock and it's not curtains.
Gary Cunningham, the architect who designed Water Tower Theater 15 years ago.
It's made out of very brutal concrete block. Poured-in-place concrete, exposed steel, windows, which is a difficult constraint for theater, and a bunch of exposed wood doors that are made out of a beautiful industrial fir wood.
A bunch of doors understates. There are 57 double doors on three levels and hundreds of small square holes in the concrete walls. This is the eggshell that is a constant backdrop to whatever rearranging the company does. The square holes are anchors for removable beams to hold up balconies and lighting grids. And under the floor are passageways that allow trap doors and are watertight, which makes the staff dream of flooding them and having actors swim on stage.
They haven't let me yet. One day, they will.
This building is not just an empty shell, what's known in theater as a black box. It's more a battleship gray treasure chest that Cunningham designed to capture the spirit of an old stone cottage that was the first theater on the property.
For 8 or 10 years, they did theater in this little house, and they would go outside and shoot water on the roof from the trees and even drive vehicles into the building and shake the whole building to make theater. And the idea was to take this very environmentally involved theater where the patrons are in the middle of everything and move it to a new building in a size that would accommodate, you know, 200 to 400 people.
Dallas has a history of reinventing theatrical space. To understand how radical Margot Jones sounded in her 1950s book Theater in the Round, you need to think back to what theater structures were back then, what they had been since the Renaissance. Basically, they were two adjoining rooms, a big one for the audience and a smaller one for the actors. And in between, instead of a wall, is a curtain. When it rises, we in the bigger room can see what the actors are doing in the small room, but they're always separate. There is always a distance. With resident theaters, the idea is to get rid of that distance, to put us all in the same room.
And that is always a challenge. How close can you get the actors to the audience? What it gets down to is actor to theater goer. In the singular, you know, one person to one person making contact, so that it is about intimacy.
Cunningham designed Water Tower Theater so it could flex into the forms regional theaters had adopted, thrust arrangements with an apron stage in front of the curtain, arena stages with seats on all sides. The arena setup is what Margot Jones championed in 1947, and if you visit the low-ceilinged room she commandeered at the Dallas Fair Park, it's hard to believe fire marshals ever let her cram in 100 people. In old photos, they practically crowd the actors off a stage that barely has room for a king-sized bed. This was the birthplace of regional theater, and all it had was intimacy.
Let it go a little bit, Cody. Pull towards you a little bit, Sylvia.
Today, intimacy means more than proximity. It means creating an environment to contain actors and audience, like the one set designer Claire DeVries will build after workers turn the thrust stage that was here Sunday into a space more like a tennis court with seats on either side. DeVries, who is an architect, says she and many designers have given up trying to control stage images the way they could inside the frame of a proscenium arch.
I like that people get slightly different views. It's more active. It's closer to architecture, where the room doesn't exist until you walk through it, whereas the proscenium's almost a little too prissy for me. You know, you make your perfect picture, and it's just so... I don't feel like I need that much control.
She's used this tennis court configuration before. She once put a creek with live fish mid-stage. The audience had to cross footbridges to get to the seats. Water will also figure in Enchanted April when it opens next week. The action leaps from London to Italy, and while DeVries can imagine doing that with painted backdrops and furniture, she's having fun trading visual flash for a little splash.
It's actually going to rain on stage. We're going to get the actors wet. It's going to be the foggy, wet, cold, where's my raincoat, sort of London. And then in that second act, we're going to fold things down and flap things out and push things away. The flowers will seem as if they just rose up out of the floor. There'll be a fountain in the middle, so there'll still be water, but this time it's benign, sunny Italian water. And I think you'd miss it if you couldn't have some of that.
Most resident stages settle on one staging format before talking to architects, so they don't have the flexibility that Water Tower does. Reconfiguring three times a year is hardly cheap, though it's offset by the lower costs of open staging. When you're right on top of the actors, you really can't have much furniture or scenery because it would block sight lines, something the Water Tower team is always thinking about, says artistic director Terry Martin.
You try not to get actors to stand ever in a straight line. They always need to play diagonals. You have to push actors, especially actors who are very naturalistic, to not play as close together as they naturally would. You need to separate them. You just have to stay on them and keep them aware of staying open to as many people as possible. Once they get the hang of it, it goes pretty well.
The same goes for the designers, who usually want to cover up all those wooden doors that make the theater so distinctive until they realize they can use them. Martin remembers one designer who opened them all up and lit them to take a show from dawn to dusk. It wasn't realistic or literal, he says, but it was a nifty effect.
And it was one of those things that we just sort of discovered into the process. Challenges turn into great insights and great discoveries that actually make for a really theatrical experience in the space.
One challenge James Lemons faces in staging Enchanted April is that the tennis court set, though it's wide open and has all that rain and fountains, only has two entry points for the actors. When all eight of them are zooming in and out, there are traffic jams. Before next Friday's opening night, he has to turn them into traffic patterns. I'm Bob Mondello.
For photos and designs of Water Tower Theater and to hear from other stories in American stages, visit our website, npr.org.